It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Yeah, we're not afraid here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, each and every day. Now, today, it's a little bit after the fact. I wanted to make sure everybody got their videos up. Everybody had, sit back and say, you know, what's up? And G20 in Pittsburgh. You know, Samitaro from Republic TV, friend of mine. We've been, co-revolutionaries, across the board here, having a good time. But I'm telling you, I was talking to him last week, and he said, Ernie, man, I saw the police state up close and personal. Sam, do we have you on board yet? Yeah, we're going.
Ernie, I should be here.
Oh, there you are. You there?
Yeah, I am.
There you go.
Minutes in, so.
Yeah, no. They said you're going to be called back. I just wanted to make sure you were there. Yeah, we're live, man. Hey, Sam, tell us about Republic TV. And I bet you that had a lot to do with why you thought it was a good idea that you go to Pittsburgh to be able to record this. Go ahead and tell us about that.
Well, I mean, the idea of why I wanted to go was, honestly, Ernie, I wanted to be able to, it was more personal than anything. RepublicMedia.tv is like... Many websites out there, an independent news website focused on liberty and freedom issues, came out of my working with Aaron Russo and his organizations several years ago. I was Aaron's national media director, and when Aaron passed on, I decided it would be best to split from the group that was carrying the torch for him, and decided I wanted to do my own thing, and did so, and launched RepublicMedia.tv with the purpose of trying to bring together independent media under one roof. There's not very many places, or any that I'm aware of, that you can get, from the Manning Report to Amy Goodman and Democracy Now! And Alex Jones all in one website. So we're trying to build this thing to where you can get the best of the best of independent media in one place, and it takes, as you know, with Freedom Phoenix, it takes user input and it takes user involvement. So we retooled the site and relaunched with the help of Eric Nordstrom, who came on board with me in June. June 22nd was our launch, and it's been growing ever since. We showed a 13,000% increase in our viewership since that time, and we're working on a brand new version of our cool media player that's a download app, which will be something like a Winamp, but for independent media. And that should be out here by the end of this month, and not about another 50 channels added on. We got to get you guys hooked up there, of course.
And we're really excited about it. We're glad that you're doing it, and you can get all the work done for us. But,
well, that's really what it's about. Ernie, I'm glad you said that, because here's the thing, man. We are having trouble getting independent broadcasters to grasp the concept of this, and you hit it right in the head. I'm glad you see it. So many times you reach out to an independent media guy or a lady that's doing a blog or somebody that's doing their own little, TV show or what, and it might be good content. And you say, hey, I want to work with you. And they say, well, I don't have time. And we don't have time. And so what we're trying to get people to understand is that if we as independent media can get over whatever it is that our blocks are, whether it's an ego trip or, chasing down market share for advertisers, or just, political differences, whatever it is that our blocks are, if we can work together to provide that information, and it's easier these days now with, you know, RSS technology and streaming technology and all that. We can just pick up a feed and run with it. But if we can be actively engaged and we're sharing information and we're collaborating and we're working together as a media unit, we have enormous power, and we can absolutely make our individual jobs that much easier and amplify individual voices exponentially.
No, I'm with you, brother. I'm hip. You know, see, the thing is that, you know, Freedom's Phoenix, we started off when in the mid-90s, we knew what was coming. Once we started doing emails in 94, late 93, early 94, I go, oh, I get it. You get to bypass the man. Because one of the first emails I got, you hear me tell the story a lot, you know, at the bottom of the SIG lines, it said, remember we used to worry that the Soviet Union would nuke Washington, D.C., and now we're worried they won't. And it wasn't so much what was said, it was the fact that you could say it. You'd never get that out of Dan Rather or something, right? So I'm going, oh, wow, and that just went viral, you know, through all these email BBSs and so on. And I said, I can see where this is going. And when you download, try to download a graphic, and you're on a 5600 baud modem, you're going, wow, what's taking so long? I mean, what's the deal? You know, and then you start having the concept of processing speed and bandwidth and all this other stuff. And then I go, okay, it's 96. We developed the whole concept for Freedom's Phoenix, the logo, the artwork, the mindset, you know, what we wanted to do. But I go, it's not ready. When the bandwidth is such that we can do video, that's when we'll do it. When YouTube started going, video started being shared on the internet about in 2005, late 2005, I go, now's the time. That's when we pulled the trigger on it and we developed it. Now, the thing is here at our workshop, we have all kinds of stuff. I mean, we silkscreen apparel. We have printing press. We do our signs. We have our DVD burning. We got a video studio, radio studio, everything. But we have yet to really, we're still finishing getting all the final touches on the broadcasting and on the radio program. So it's really, that's taken off. So we wanted to go ahead and get that all solid, and we've been working. Matter of fact, this last weekend, we were wiring all of the mics and everything into our control board for the radio so that we could have all the full systems that have an A and B buses that we can control all the mics and everything in the video studio. So we built the studio. It's already, you've seen some of our videos and so on, but it takes enormous amount of time.
It does. It does. And that's one of the big problems. It's not only the production. I mean, the tools these days, as you know, with desktop video and the things that we're like, you know, people watch my show, they don't realize. I mean, it looks like it's a broadcast news set. It's all fake. I've got a little 10 by 12 extra bedroom in my house with a couple cameras set up, and it's all done virtually. The tools are such now that they're so much more affordable, so much more powerful.
You can be on a spaceship in the middle of whatever in your space suit doing laser tag with whatever. I mean, you know,
it's crazy.
You know,
it's
and the
crazy
thing is, but it's...
So the production isn't so much the issue these days. What really takes time, Ernie, is, as we know, you know, guys like us that have been doing this for a long time, and over the past 15 years, you know, we're talking about what's coming. We're talking about what's coming. We're talking about what they're going to do. We're talking about what they're going to do. Now we're talking about what they're doing, and they're picking it up so quickly. The enemy is quickening the pace over the past couple years that you can't keep up on it. You know, you just can't keep up on it. You need a team of people to research and to vet information out. And, you know, I teach high school. I mean, that's how I make my living. I don't make a penny from the activist stuff. And who has time for that? You know, that's why we need to get together as a team and share quality information. And broadcasters need to open up that line of communication because they can help one another out. They can collaborate on stories. They can share information.
Well, this division of labor has accumulated into a lot of stuff that we can resource. You know, it's just like YouTube. Right. And we have 4409 here. Hell, take him, man. You know, take it, do it, broadcast him. He's popular. Now, what happens is we kind of support a lot of stuff that he does. Drew Phillips is one of our other videographers. He does a lot of stuff. I do a lot of stuff. But the studio, what we found out is that it's going to come into its own here as we get into this election cycle. But the main thing is that we have, like, I'll give you an example. Last night, they had a meetup here at the workshop. 20-something people came to their first meetup to make no vaccine signs. And the one, if you go to the top of Freedoms Phoenix right now, Freedoms with an S, Phoenix.com, to this show, you go in and see it'll be Declare Your Independence Afternoon Show, October 8th. You go click in there, you can see the signs that they made one day, boom, done. And it has support first responders that say no to mandatory shots. And it's got like skull and crossbones, but the bones are syringes dripping red and all that kind of stuff. Well, these are going up all over the valley by the hundreds. We're just starting to do this because there are first responders that don't want to be forced to take these vaccines. And we're going to support them, because if we don't support them, I guarantee you they're not going to support us after they had to take it. They're going to put a gun to our head and say, you got to take it too. And we come back with Sam and Tara. We're going to be talking about the G20. You know, up close and personal with the police state. Sam will tell us all about it. We'll be right back.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Same old song and dance. You know, Sam and I have been, you know, I don't know, are we dancing this tune, or are we just bobbing our head to it or making fun of it? I mean, whatever. We're involved because, I mean, damn. The one thing is that I wanted to make sure that people got where they can get hold of you if they have content. Because that's one thing I was featuring on one of the shows a couple days ago. There's this one woman that I can't remember what it's called, but it's, you know, daily news thing. And all she has behind her is just some world map that's a banner hung there. And then she'll have picture in picture that will come in at different things. Fantastic job. I mean, I'd rather watch her than any of the networks. You know, it's not that hard.
No, it's not. And you know what people don't understand? This is another thing, Ernie, that we offer. And what I've done media training. I teach high school. I actually teach digital media. This is what I do for a living. And I've done media training for, like, the National Green Party, for the Constitution Party nationally. I was doing this when I was with Russo's group. And people don't understand. You know, check this out. Webcam Max, $29.95. Look it up. Webcam Max. You go out, you get a decent little webcam, 40, 50, 60 bucks, 100 bucks. Of course, like anything, the more you spend, the better you look, right? You get a microphone, you plug it in, you get Webcam Max. It allows you to do just what you're saying, Ernie. You get a nice little setup in your home studio. You put yourself slightly off center to the left or the right, and you can do picture in picture with a source where you can draw videos up. You can draw YouTube videos up. Heck, you can do a screen capture, and you can be sitting there cruising the web while you're commenting on a story, press a button, and right over your left shoulder, a YouTube video is playing, and it looks like TV. The program costs $29.95. What are you waiting for, people? Get in the digital revolution. Jump in.
Yeah, I'm going to put this up here. Webcam Max, and it's going to be linked up.
What's so cool about that, Ernie, is that program, what happens is you send your video and audio signal into that. Then when you go to, like, live stream or Ustream or Stickam or even free YouTube, whatever, any of these web-based services where you're either going live or you're recording right to their service, you tell that service to grab not your video camera, but you grab the signal from Webcam Max. So then when you're going live, it looks like that, and it costs you $30. It's incredible. If anybody wants to get hold of me and talk about this, we can train you. We can help you out. You can get hold of us at republicmedia.tv.
You know, and this is there's so many easy things to, and they got better too. I mean, just in the last couple of years, because I remember when they first had. It was called Visual Communicator, and
that's what I use. Though. Even now, it's still $1,000.
They got bought up by Adobe.
And it went up $400 as soon as Adobe bought it. Yeah, worse customer service, of course.
Yeah, exactly. But you know, the fact that it even came up, because what we were looking for, I remember when this happened. That's right, I remember it was 2006 election cycle. And senior editor Pal Gamble was just looking online to find some teleprompter software so that he could practice a speech he had to give, do a television spot on ABC. He was running for Congress, and they give you your 3 minutes or whatever. And they allow you to give them text for teleprompter. So he was looking for, this, and he comes across this visual communicator. And we're going, oh, my goodness. We can do any. We could be on board Starship Enterprise giving a speech with everybody. I mean, this is crazy. So I knew then that the big bad guys, they're done. But the problem is, and the reason I brought this up, we were doing the signs and stuff, had to meet up last night, is that if you're not doing the television, you got time to do that stuff. And if you're doing all that stuff, then at least you got content to put on your television, but then you got to have time to do the television, and you have to have enough people. And even though we got dozens and dozens of people down here doing a lot of stuff all the time, they would rather be out on the street doing it, somebody taking a picture of it, talking about it on the radio, and linking pictures and doing it, rather than going and sitting talking about what they did. They'd just rather go do it some more. So, it's you got to have that one person or somebody, and it'll happen. It always happens. It's just one play. We got our artists. We got our printers. We got everything, all the stuff. And now we're looking for who's going to be the face on video. And there was this one young girl. She's early 20s, and her name, I don't even know what her real name was. I don't even know if this was a real name. Her name is Penny Lane, and she did, the Daily Rag, and it was just, really fun and so on. But you're young, and you're distracted, and you got other things to do. But sooner or later, and maybe I'll have to incorporate it in between morning and afternoon show or something, do some video. But and Charles Goyette is going to start doing so. So he may be the one that does the video. And when you start, and we just sit down and boom, do it, we're going to need Republic TV. So that, I haven't forgot about you, man. We know we got other people out there. We got Break the Matrix doing stuff and Restore the Republic and you and us and everything.
You know what? No, stop. Here's the difference between what we're doing and what they're doing. We're trying to bring everybody together. They're building their own networks. There's a big difference.
Well, explain that. How do you see that as a difference?
What I said. Where else in the web can you find Reverend Manning and Amy Goodman and Alex Jones and Gary Franchi all on the same player?
I see what you're saying. So it's
as simple as that. We're bringing, and we have Break the Matrix on there as well. We're bringing all those different networks in together in one easy to use player.
How do you
featuring their content?
How do you think this is the future? Because I'll give you an example. I go and I give speeches and I'll say, the lamestream media, the media that's so last century. Well, these young guys in their 30s, early 30s and younger, they know exactly what I mean. I mean, they're just like, the who? CNN what? Wolf Blitzer who?
Right.
O'Reilly, yep. What's his name? Sean Hannity, who cares? These guys don't care about them. And one thing, the numbers, a lot of people don't really understand what the numbers are. They've been fragmenting so much, and it's going heavy into the internet where people are getting their information and entertainment, that they don't have audiences anymore. This is the last ditch of them, the Fourth Empire, kind of making sure that they're, hopefully you stay around looking for a government handout. So it's getting that bad. And you have
didn't Obama mention Ernie about a couple weeks ago? I saw a little blurb somewhere that he was mentioning that big media may well need some bailout.
We had it up on Freedom's Phoenix, of course. Who reads these guys anymore? Here the Arizona Republic, the paper of record for Arizona, has been trashed for a long time. And ever since I've known, it's just garbage. And they keep getting smaller and smaller and smaller. They're a penny saver. So the thing is, nobody looks in there except the guys that they feed on themselves. They're older crowd, and they, I don't know whether they believe it or not, but they're looking for, even the classifieds have killed them with Craigslist. There's anything that kept them afloat. They're having competition, and they're just lying. So what happens is now you have the ability to compete directly, mind to mind. These social, heck, Facebook, slaps them around too. Just having the ability, when you have someone, and when we come back in the next segment, we'll get into this. You're at the G20, and you got some, 18-year-old there with a cell phone that has a video camera in that he posts up to his Twitter. That immediately went to YouTube and out to his 4,000 Facebook guys that then viraled, went out and everything 15 minutes after it happened. We got it up on Freedom's Phoenix. Everybody already knows what's going on. Guys listening to the scanners that they put the frequencies up there, public information, listening to the scanners from Pittsburgh, and they're in Queens, New York, tweeting to these guys saying, look, this is what the cops are saying they're doing. telling where they're going, what they're doing, what they're deploying, how they're going to do it and everything. Boom! They go and arrest him.
I know.
I'm going, you know, hello, are we starting to get it?
I was watching that interview. They had them on. They had the fella and his lawyer on Democracy Now! For a pretty long interview.
Really? Well, tell me about that. I'd like to hear about that.
It's ridiculous. It's so. And you know what, Ernie?
You want to pay him to come arrest you just for being stupid?
Because we're running out of time. You know, they keep saying, oh, they can't shut the internet down. Yeah, they can. You know?
Yes, of course they can.
And that's why we need to get together. That's why we need to pick up the pace. And that's why we need to get over whatever it is that's stopping the unity from happening in the alternative media. We can become the mainstream. We can become bigger than the mainstream.
You know, I'm not a big collectivist unity kind of guy. Just like, hey, we're voluntary temporary alliances. And then, you know, they're there and you go back later when you have a common interest again. Well, that's happening every day. We'll be talking more about it. We come back on Declare Your Independence. Me and Sam Attar in just a little bit.
You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Yeah, ready to rumble here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, Sam Attar from Republic.tv. I wanted to talk about, we'll get right to this. I keep promising people, I hate when hosts do that. We'll go right to G20. Now, you decided what day, when did you get there? Walk us through this. You knew it was coming how far in advance?
Sure. Well, with the referendum. Oh, I do want to, not to be presumptuous or obnoxious or anything, but I got to correct you because it's important that we get the right URL out. It's republicmedia.tv.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Not a problem. I wasn't sure whether I was going to go or not. And frankly, I went for more personal reasons because, as we saw, Ernie, you know, the G20 didn't need Sam Attar there. You know, I mean, there were thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of people and thousands and thousands and thousands of cameras. So I didn't go for the reasons that many people thought that maybe I did. You know, I heard about it, of course, back in, when was it, May or June when they announced it, and I knew that it was coming right, like, what, the 2 weeks after school started, so for me it was a pretty bad time to take off for 3 days.
Which is why they did it.
Yeah, and you know, it was really about the week before, and my wife looked at me, and you know you've met my lovely wife Kim and my beautiful little daughter, and they said to me, Daddy, you got to go do this. You know, my little girl is very awake, and she just turned 10 last month, and. And we homeschool. We try to do everything as best we can in regards to raising our daughter to be awake. You know, we don't have television in our house. The whole thing. You know, we organic garden, whatever we can do. And my daughter is very well aware of what's happening from the Bush administration to the Obama administration to the plans that are being laid and that are being unfurled.
Well, she's not that old. How old is she?
She's 10 now, and she's very well aware, and we don't hold anything back with her. And sometimes it's scary, but we're saying, hey, kid, you know, this is the world that we live in, and we need to raise you to be a fighter and to understand what is happening so that you don't get blindsided when you're 18 years old like I did when I woke up and saw my first video at 22 and went, oh, my God, you know. We want to raise her in that culture, so... she says to me, you know, Daddy, you know, you're going to fight this, right? And when my wife said, Sam, you know, you, as a teacher, I only get 4 personal days a year. So I'm going, geez, do I really want to use this to go down there? And my family said to me, go. You have to go. Ernie, you know, when I lived in Oregon, about 6 hours from Seattle, in the northwest Oregon, and I remember a friend of mine coming to me saying, Sam, something huge is going on up in Seattle, the WTO protest. He went out to Fry's Electronics, bought an $800 camcorder. He said, I'm going to Seattle. I want to cover this. Do you want to go? And this was back in the day, like you're talking, you know.
I know. Technology was not as – they were arresting people just for having cell phones back then.
And you know, I said, no, man, I think I'm going to stay here. And to that day, to this day, I regret that. And I've seen my share of action. I've seen my share of riot police in the past 12 years. But I regret not being at that historic event. And my wife said to me, Sam, you know, this is going to be historic. You live 2.5 hours away. How can you justify not being there? So I looked at my little girl and I said, you want me to do this? You know it's dangerous. You know that there's a chance of getting arrested. You know, what do you want your daddy to do? And she said, I want you to fight for me. She said, you go. So I went. And that's why I went to the G20. And I'll tell you what I saw scared the hell out of me.
Okay, frankly, now deciding you're going to the G20, and you live where? Yeah.
I live in North Central Pennsylvania. It's if anybody knows where Penn State is, it's kind of in the middle of the state.
Yeah, my wife is from State College. She went to Penn State.
Out of here, really?
Oh yeah.
Wow. Well, then you know
that's where we met. Right? That's where we got married.
About 40 miles. 40 miles from State College.
Right? Okay, where? What is it?
Clearfield County.
Okay. Well, Donna knows where it's at. I don't remember. It all looks green, rolling hills to me. But that's where we got married.
Our country, buddy.
So what happens is now you're close to Seattle and you don't go, you're a slacker. Now you're close to Pittsburgh and you decide not to be a slacker. So
what I love about you, man? You tell it like it is.
As is the way it is. Okay, so non-slacker Sam decides to go to the G20 in Pittsburgh. Yep. And did you bring any crew or just cameras? What'd you do?
No, man, it was just me. You know, I really had no plan whatsoever. I have a great crew, which I would like to shout out to real quick. Eric Nordstrom, Brandon Gray, E. Wayne Johnson. God love these guys. We are Republic Media. We couldn't be doing it without them. And I kept in touch with them through Twitter, through email, and through cell phone because I wasn't able to bring my laptop with me, didn't want to bring it in harm's way. So I just went down with my little 3-chip camcorder and my mobile rig, didn't bring my big news camera and stuff, went as light as possible. I left work early on Thursday. Took me about 2 hours to get down to Pittsburgh, connected with another couple activists, Matt Kazee, who does a radio show, and a couple other guys. Ended up hooking up with all the We Are Change guys. I was there with Lukowski and all those cats, you know, and went to Lawrenceville. I came in the north side, went across the 40th Street Bridge, pulled right there at the bridge, and immediately, as soon as I crossed the river on the 40th Street Bridge on the north side to Lawrenceville, you can see the city probably 6 miles, you know, right down Liberty Boulevard down the way. And, man, riot police everywhere. So immediately they pushed me off to the left. From what I understood, and it turns out, it panned out this way, that there was a group of local anarchists. I guess they called themselves anarchists. They do officially. I'm not using that term to be pejorative. This is what they call themselves. They had organized a non-permitted march. Now, Friday, there was a big permitted march, and that was the People's March. And I guess that, Ernie, we need to talk about, because this is something people are not talking about, which was the vast, huge number of socialist and communist groups that were there. This wasn't a liberty march, folks. This was a march. This was a march for socialism. It was really interesting. We'll get into that. That was Friday. Well, Thursday, pull across the bridge to Lawrenceville, and I'm going to go see where the anarchists are. I'm going to go to the park, and I'm going to cover this. So I made a left in the neighborhood. I found a little parking space, and I pulled up on there, and I parked, and I jumped out of my car, and I start walking. Cops everywhere. Like, you can't even imagine. Riot cops, local cops, lining the streets. I walked 2 blocks up to the park. Immediately, cops shoulder to shoulder, probably 200, 300 people I can't remember what the name of the park was, the park there in Lawrenceville. And, of course, there's the anarchists are there, you know, they're beating on their drums and they're waving their flags and they're taunting the cops, you know, and they're yelling things that I don't want to repeat here on the radio. And, you know, but it was peaceful. There was no violence going on. They were just, you know, being, you know, protesting the police state, protesting the G20. And the cops were, this was close quarters, man. I'm talking right there. You know, I walked right through the police line, walked right up to these guys, tried to talk with them, find out where their contingent was from, immediately noticing that there were cops from all over the eastern seaboard there, Ernie.
Now, how did you know that? Were they marked? Did they have uniform? Because a lot of these guys...
Well, yeah. It says Chicago Police. We interviewed, just the rundown, Chicago Police, Massachusetts Port Authority, Miami-Dade County Police from Florida.
Anybody wants a little extra overtime, I get it.
Oh, yeah, man. Maryland, Pennsylvania, the Harrisburg Capitol Police from the Capitol building.
Who paid for this?
Well, I would imagine it was I don't know, but I imagine it had to be the feds. And this brings up one of the big questions. If you go to republicmedia.tv, I still have this feature up there. You're going to see a picture of me with my bullhorn. And the headline says, Otero to police. Who do you work for? Anonymous riot police. You don't need to know. Otero, excuse me? And this is where it started it. There was we saw police from all over the place, Ernie, and they have their riot gear on, but you could still see their badges on their shoulders, right? There were a lot of cops there, and I wouldn't even use the word cops. I would call them soldiers. This was full on battle gear, man. We're talking. I got on video. We're talking automatic weapons. We're talking tear gas weapons. We're talking sidearms. Every cop had a sidearm. Pistol. You name it, along with the high tech weaponry. I got blasted with an LRAD, man. That wasn't fun.
Oh, did you really?
The video's up on the site. We went up right in front of this.
Now, did they just use Sonics?
From Illinois, with a soldier mounting an LRAD, opened up right there.
Define the LRAD. Go ahead and tell people what the LRAD. You missed it. Well, you got to tell people what the LRAD is. Right, real quick, say what it is.
We'll talk about the Lawrenceville fracas when we get back.
All right. LRAD, they got these area deniability weapons. So there are many different kinds, too. So we'll talk about them when we come back. You need to know this. I mean, we got guys on the front line, so you didn't have to. And you still get to know what happened. We'll be right back here with Sam Ataro from republicmedia.tv in just a little bit on Declare Your Independence.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Fight for some freedom here and declare your independence. And we got some guys fighting for some freedom for republicmedia.tv. Sam Ataro up against a man nose to nose. Tell me how that was, man.
It was scary, but it was also very, very invigorating, Ernie. I mean, you've met me. I'm not like you. I'm not one to hold my tongue. And I went down there and I really tried to just be objective and cover it. But man, when it just got to the point of cartoonish ridiculousness with how they were responding to a very, really a minimal threat. I mean, there were some anarchists there that were very clearly bent on causing some disruption.
Yeah, tell me about that. I went through this before, and before the Iraq War, it was end of February or early March. I think it was still February of 2003 before we actually went into Iraq. And they had a big, anti-war protest in the center of Phoenix. They had a Patriot Park had it organized. On the first week or two that I had my radio show or morning show here, and we had, she's now a senator, legislator. Her name is Kyrsten Sinema, and she was big anti-war, green, progressive, communist, what kind of ist? We're going to take your money-ist, okay? And she said, we want the libertarians, you guys, come on down. Come on down. Well, I said, we don't go to protest unless we get to bring our firearms. So I guess, okay, we'll let you come this time, I'm like, all right, cool. So a bunch of us went down. We had our sidearms on. And, so we just know that things are more peaceful that way. Well, what happened was, we had signs for the radio show, and I'm doing recording. I wasn't broadcasting live, but I was recording the show, segments for the show. And it was very interesting. You had a lot of people that were just, we went through this before in the 60s thing. We know where this is going. We don't want to have this. When they did the march and they went around the town and then they made a circle and they came back, there was a recruiting office that was, 100 yards from where the park was downtown there. Excuse me. And what they did is they went by there, and then they, you know, started getting loud and everything. They got their drummer guys and the long dreadlock guys and the, we bathe sometimes people and kind of doing the hippy-dippy weatherman thing. And they get into the intersection there, the closest intersection by that, and they just kept circling around and beating the drum and all, and they wouldn't leave. Well, I could see what was happening. The Phoenix police, they had got their riot gear on. They bring up their horses. They went from two or three directions on that four intersection corner there. And they're ready to storm these guys. They're going to start. And it's Saturday. There's no traffic down. Nobody cares. I mean, it's not that big a deal. But you will respect my authority kind of thing. So when
That's
they were
what
doing.
Was, sure.
So
Absolutely.
What happened was, is I took. I have one of my sons took a, it's like a 4x5 sign that I have, or a 3x4 is a big, declare your independence sign. And they had that over one corner, my other son in the other corner. I was on the third corner with my sidearm and a video camera walking out, videotaping this, making sure the officers could see me. And they're just, it caused them just enough pause. They're like, man, let's see, we got talk show host, video camera, gun. I mean, we need to call somebody, So they just hesitated just long enough, about 10 minutes, it held them off to where finally they got done, they're tired, and they leave, and it was done. And I'm just going, they would have rushed these guys. They were getting ready. They had a horde, man. They're all ready to go. They all suited up and, banging. They hadn't started banging on the shields yet. They were just getting ready.
Yeah, we saw that.
that's the next, and they start their march forward kind of deal. And you know these guys wanted that to happen. A confrontation. So when you have these and you call them anarchists, I started talking to these guys and finding they didn't know what the heck was going, what the issues were. All they wanted was, redistribution of wealth, for me so I can sit on my butt and smoke more dope. And I'm going, right. Where are you guys from? They are a family-like thing. They are a group of people that keep getting added to or drop off that are sustained by somebody that uses them to go and cause a ruckus at these different kinds of meetings. And I don't.
Oh, there's definitely an element of that. There's also an element of sincerity with some of
these. No.
They flat don't believe in the capitalist system. They think it's evil. They are following some sort of weird hodgepodge of Marxism and Leninism and socialism. I don't know. Look it up. Go see what the anarchists.
No,
want.
No. This is my point, Sam. This is my point. There's all kinds of people. I mean, there were people from all over. Sure. Well, that doesn't mess up my point. The ones that are are in the face. The ones that are throwing the rocks in the windows. The ones that are antagonizing the police. The ones that there's something I couldn't find out who they were. They didn't really have a group. There wasn't, but they were all together, and they bust in. They follow these things around. Who are those guys?
You got me.
We need to find out, because I'm telling you, man, they're there.
What's that?
I'm telling you, they're there. We need to find out who these people are. They're instigating. I saw a lot of it, a nice dose, when I went to Crawford, Texas, when Cindy Sheehan was there. I covered that for a week for the radio station I was at. And I met Alex Jones there and, a bunch of the guys and Scott Horton from antiwar.com, and we're doing shows back and forth, and I'm calling back and we're covering everything. And I've known Cindy even way before she, started getting a lot of notoriety when she first started Gold Star Mothers Families. And what happened was she used to write on Lou Rockwell, and, she's more libertarian than these guys realize. But, as long as she understands you don't use coercion to have your little socialist commune. Fine, you can do that. I just get to leave, right? And you don't get to force me to pay for it, right? Okay, then we're good. You can do what you want. Well, what happened was these guys, they had a contingent that were these people. And they're vegans. They're real hardcore, socialists. We need to redistribute the wealth. And I'm going, okay, where do you people come from? They don't even know. They just show up at these communes or houses or whatever they live at, and they're usually doing it when they're young. It's like late teens and mid, late 20s, and then they're off to whatever. But they're used as manpower to populate these kinds of resistance. And I still haven't got a real clear picture, and with asking a lot of questions, but they didn't, because they didn't know. You're just like, hey, I can go over here? Cool. And it's like, you know, women? Yeah, right on. You know, so I'm going, there's something else behind this. There's this controlled opposition
no
or something.
And one of the things that I noticed when I was there was just, well, let me go back to how I saw this build in Lawrenceville, because this kind of tells this tale, what you're getting at here. Crossed the bridge, parked, went to the park, saw the cops. The group then moved up over the hill and they started their march toward the city. Now, that in and of itself, Ernie, you have to ask yourself, you're 6-7 miles from downtown. I mean, we're talking 40 blocks. It was a long way, okay? And they decide to hold an unpermitted march in Lawrenceville and march to the city trying to get to the G20. What are they thinking? I mean, that in and of itself, that ain't going to happen, you know? It's not going to happen. They knew that. It was set up to antagonize the police. It was set up to cause the reaction that the police brought forth, which in my estimation was an overreaction. However, what were the cops supposed to do? You know, you got hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of black-clad anarchists carrying backpacks full of rocks, waving flags, marching through the business district of Lawrenceville.
You know, I give you
downtown. They got to deal with it.
Well, you know, this is how we dealt with when they did the Democratic National Convention, and then like a week later, followed by the Republican National Convention, and then at the same time, Dr. Paul had his Restore the Republic rally in Missouri, where. And when we went to this, because we did, Don and I, we took a trailer and we went. From Arizona, Phoenix, we went to Denver first, met up with some libertarians up there, and we're going to go ahead and just, you know, blanket a bunch of signs up on the overpasses and so on here, and here's some more, and here's some stencils, and have fun, power to people, and whatever. And boom, we're there a day and a half we were there. And then boom, we went up to Minneapolis, St. Paul. And when we stopped there, there were a whole bunch of the libertarians that were supposed to be there that were going to help us put up these signs that were in jail because they had to go down, you know, in the mosh pit, you know, down there with all the protesters and everything. And I'm going, why would you do that? I mean, what'd you think was going to happen? I mean, who's telling you to do this? I mean, we go around the entire city, everywhere. You had every single cop on the planet was down there. You know, it's like crickets anywhere else. We're putting signs on freeway overpasses. We're just blanketing all around this. We definitely got our message out in a fraction of the time. And then these guys, they didn't get to participate because they're in jail. And I'm going, you know, I mean, there's a time to... You know, give a finger to the man in front of his face, you know, but I mean, what is it you wanted to accomplish? You just wanted to go to a party or something? I mean, what was it? So when we go to, we get Minneapolis, St. Paul, do the same thing. You know, Donna and Jean, some of the girls, they got stopped. Now, if we see any more signs, we're going to know you did it. We got your IDs. You might as well haul us off now because, I mean, there's like hundreds of them just went up, you know. So they are always having some kind of shield for them. They need to make sure that you are not able to get down in their little and mess up their camera angles and make sure it looks bad. They want to look good for TV. And you're going, all right, fine. Well, we'll go do our own thing over here. And that's what Dr. Paul did. The other side of town, a much bigger, a much more fun, a much better attended, a much more effective convention that just trumped everything that they did. Quit worrying about them. Why am I trying to change their mind? I don't care about them. The heck with them. Let's go get our own message out. Let's go ahead and communicate directly with the people. That's what republicmedia.tv is doing. It's what freedomsphoenix.com is doing. And it's what you should be doing. Go to the sites. Find the information. We're back at the top of the hour and get some more at 6 after.
Amen.